If you would look in your Bibles tonight with me, Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1, I felt strongly led of the Lord to come to the book of Galatians tonight. And we'll begin here in verse number 1. I want to look at the entirety of the chapter. When you turn to the book of Galatians, it's one of Paul's letters to not the church of Galatia, but the churches of Galatia. When you look at the book of Galatians, it is not just to one church, but it's to a whole area of churches. And so when you come to the book of Galatians, Paul's going to write the church of Galatians, and Paul feels the need and has the need to write them a letter. I've been seeing this. I talk about memes every now and then. I think I really like them, and they help me. They help me put things in perspective. I send them to folks pretty regularly too. If I think about you, and it's like they've experienced something like this lately. But I saw this meme, and it says this. It says if Paul saw the church today, we would be getting a letter. And how many of you have seen that? And so. If Paul saw the church today, we'd be getting a letter. Because so often as we see these New Testament letters, the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, they are letters from Paul to these churches, or in the case of Galatia, a group of churches in an area. And the Apostle Paul has an intention of correcting some things and setting things in order. And it's important as a New Testament church that we find our doctrine in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the whole Bible. But the doctrine of the church is so rich and so important that we know it from the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And I've met folks along the way that they believe the Old Testament. They believe the Gospels. But they want to dismiss some of the writings of the Apostle Paul. I'll have you know something. The Apostle Paul wrote the inerrant, infallible Word of God, inspired by God. And God's people need to pattern ourselves after him. And after this, these passages of Scripture. Now, Paul is going to always defer the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was led of God to write these things. And when we open the book of Galatians, the theme of the book is an emphasis on the fact that the Galatian churches had adopted another gospel. They had adopted another gospel. They had taken the gospel that the Apostle Paul had taught and preached, that he had received by the Holy Spirit from Jesus, and they added some things to it. The bottom line is the majority of the book of Galatians is the Apostle Paul refuting the Jews' religion being added on to the gospel of grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to spend a lot of time as we make our way through the book of Galatians, who knows how long or when. But as we make our way through the book of Galatians, we're going to find out that the churches in Galatia, they were adding on the Jews' religion. And very specifically in this passage of Scripture, and for these churches, it was the addition of circumcision. You know, the Old Testament Jews, they required circumcision for all the men. And so the Jewish influence on the churches in Galatia, they were going to add something to the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul is going to be preaching and teaching and tell the church at Galatia, you do not need to add works to the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace. Now, you may say, well, what does that have to do with us today? Now, the New Testament church is not enforcing the act of circumcision. But I will tell you this, there are people who want to add things that are not in the Bible to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know something, that if you add or take away from the New Testament gospel message, you've perverted the gospel. And it loses its power in so many ways. And we as a church, we need to make sure that our gospel that we preach is not another gospel, but is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the New Testament. It's important. So tonight I want to preach this message, don't fall for another gospel. Paul begins this letter like he begins all of his letters with a greeting. And I'd like to read you these 24 verses in chapter number 1 of the book of Galatians. If you'll follow along, we'll read God's word as a church. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached for me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. When we come to this passage of Scripture, Paul's going to give an introduction and a welcome to the church at Galatia. And Paul's going to get right to the point. He's going to make it clear to the church at Galatia that he's very disappointed that they've removed themselves and they've began to follow after another gospel. And I warn you, don't fall for another gospel. We'll look at tonight's message. Don't fall for another gospel. Number one, I want to bring this to your attention. Number one, the gospel's proper source. The gospel's proper source. Where do we get our gospel? Where do we get our good news? Where do we get our message? We get our message from none other than God's word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God uses in a mighty way the Apostle Paul to give us the gospel message. Let's just look here in the very beginning, verse number one. The Bible says in verse one, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul begins his letter by saying, this is from Paul. A lot of us write letters and we'll say, dear, and we'll address who we're writing to. And then at the end, we'll say sincerely, with love, whatever, and we'll write our names and sign it. The Apostle Paul did his letters a little bit different. He began his letters with his name, Paul. And then he gave us his credentials. And in this instance, he begins this letter to the Galatian churches with Paul, an apostle. Now, it's important that we know that Paul was indeed an apostle. Paul was among a small group of people who God raised up to be apostles. Sometimes you'll meet folks that are parts of churches who title themselves apostle. And I want you to know something. There is a major contrast between the apostles of the Lord's day, the disciples, and the Apostle Paul, and folks who call themselves apostles today. This is an extraordinary group. And God called Paul to be an apostle. He was an apostle. He was contemporary with Jesus. He was called and spoken to specifically and personally by Jesus. We see Paul the apostle called on the Damascus Road. Paul, an apostle, and he makes it clear. He says, "I want you to know something. I'm an apostle, but I'm not an apostle, not of men." He said, "Not of men. I'm not an apostle made by men. Men didn't make me an apostle, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." And he's beginning already to make some inference and some giving us some details about the true and actual unperverted gospel that he wants us to know. It's all about Jesus who was risen from the dead. Verse number 2. Not only is Paul part of this letter, but Paul sends his greeting from all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He's sending a group, there's a group of Christian people with him, and they're together. We can see that throughout the letter that this is a message not from a group of people necessarily, but ultimately from the Apostle Paul. But Paul says, there's a group of people with me, a group of brethren that greet you also. Verse number 3. Paul says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul sends this message to the church. He says, I want you to know that we have grace. Aren't you glad that we have grace? And one wonderful, important part of the gospel message is God is rich in grace. Oh, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. And we as God's people, as experiencers and enjoyers of God's grace, we should in turn be gracious to other people. And Paul says, grace be to you. I love grace. Grace is when we don't get, when we do get what we don't deserve, when we do get what we don't deserve. I'm saved. I don't deserve it, but I've got it. And we have grace. Grace be to you and peace. Grace and peace. Where do we get grace and peace? We get it from the Lord Jesus. We get it through faith in the gospel. He says, grace and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In his introduction, the Apostle Paul, he really gives us a introductory lesson to the gospel, the message of the gospel. He mentions to us that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He mentions to us that Jesus Christ came and gave himself for our sins. You see that verse before? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, our Father. Now, we see the gospel message. It's given here, but we can find a very, very clear presentation of the gospel according to Paul, which is Christ's gospel, over just a few pages back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Won't you look there with me for just a minute? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel message? The gospel message is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the grave. He defeated death, hell, and the grave so that we can have everlasting life. Now, I want you to know that the gospel is a rather simple message. Jesus died for our sins. But the Apostle Paul is going to make something really plain here in just a moment, that the gospel message coming from Christ Jesus, coming from God the Father, coming from the Apostle Paul, was something that was going to be perverted. Something fascinating about the first little section, the book of Galatians, the first five verses, Paul's greeting, is it is one of the only, and I think the only one of Paul's letters that did not include some type of praise or thanksgiving for the people who are receiving the letter. You've read in other places that Paul would say something like, Paul the Apostle, I thank God upon every remembrance of thee. Or the Apostle Paul, I'm encouraged by your faith. And I'm filling in some blanks. But the Apostle Paul, often as he wrote these letters, he'd say something really encouraging. But I want you to know something about the church at Galatia. They weren't committing the same type of carnal sins as the church at Corinth. And they weren't partaking in some of the devious behavior of some of the other churches that Paul would write letters to send them correction. But Paul did not praise them at all because they were doing something that was of utmost and utter potential devastation to the church. They were following after another gospel. I want you to know something. They still use the name Jesus. They still use the name God. They still used the same Bible, and they still said a lot of the same things, but they were adding to the message of the gospel works. And when you add works to the message of the gospel, you've perverted the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says, when you've perverted the gospel, you get no praise. You get no praise. Don't fall for another gospel. The gospel's number one proper source is Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, the Word of God. Number two, the gospel's potential for perversion. What the scripture says in verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, I marvel. He says, this has blown my mind. He said, how in the world could I have been more clear? When I was with you, I was plain, I was clear. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. For by grace you say, through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. I've been plain, he says. But I marvel, you've blown my mind that you're so soon removed from him. Him that called you into the gospel, he refers to himself. I believe the him is referring to the Apostle Paul that called you into the gospel, into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. He says, you've stepped away from the grace of Christ. Do you know that it's really easy for religious people like us to step away from the grace and begin to add to the grace our own idea of what the gospel really looks like? A lot of folks want to add things to the gospel. We got to be careful about that. We got to be careful about that. We got to be careful about adding things to the gospel. Now look, sure, you're saved by grace through faith. That's the gospel. But you need to look like this. You need to act exactly like this. You need to do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. I want you to know something. When somebody gets saved, it will completely change their life. And when Jesus saves somebody on the inside, the next thing you know, the outside is going to take on some radical transformation. But if we think somehow that the exterior things are the things that must be emphasized and called the gospel, we make a terrible decision, because grace is one of the keys to the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says, look, I'm telling you, you try to add the Jews' religion to this. You try to add Saturday Sabbath worship. You try to add circumcision. You try to add feast days. You try to add diets. You try to add these things to the gospel, and you're going to leave and depart, and you're going to pervert the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. The gospel's potential perversion. He says, I marvel that you're so soon. I want you to know something. It's easy to quickly be drawn away from the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may people like us and churches like ours take very serious the fact that we could become guilty of the same thing. God help us not to raise up a generation of Pharisees or religionists, but may God help us to raise up a generation of Bible-believing Christians who have surrendered their hearts to Jesus and the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm marvel that you're so soon removed to another gospel. Verse number seven is so important. He says, you've been removed from the grace to another gospel. He says, which is not another. I think that's important we note that. He says, you've gone to another gospel. He says, but let me back up just a second. And let me make sure this is clear. That gospel you believe, that gospel that has added something or taken something away, he says, that's not a gospel, actually. It's not the good news. It's not the gospel. It's a perversion. It's illegitimate. It's not right. He says, this gospel that is Jesus Christ and faith in Christ plus whatever it might be is not a gospel. It's not the gospel. It's a perversion. Or faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sin minus something. I want to take just a minute and park here for just a second. There are lots of folks who preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in those terms. But I'll have you know something. If you ever hear a gospel message that leaves out the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is not the gospel. It's a perversion. If you ever hear a gospel message as sweet and flowery and beautiful as it is, mentioning the love of Jesus Christ, and he's rich in love, he is love, but it leaves out the fact that Jesus died to save men from their sin, it's not the gospel, it's a perversion. I've watched on the news just this past week, occasionally there'll be little sparks of revival. And I'm just going to tell you, a lot of the times when there's a spark of revival here and there and where have you, I'm pretty skeptical. I really am. I try not to be a skeptic by my nature, but I want things to be right. And I don't know everything that happened on the campus of Ohio State University. As a matter of fact, I hate to say anything nice about Ohio State University. I mean, I hate it. A bunch of worthless nuts. That's what a Buckeye is, right? I'm going to keep digging deeper. Fred Conley's not even here tonight. But Miss Paula's here. I watched reports of the Lord doing a work at Ohio State University, and I'm sure I wouldn't agree with everything they said and everything that happened, but I want you to know something. I sat and listened to the testimony of four football players that were leading and preaching the gospel to those groups of kids at Ohio State University that gathered around, and I'm going to tell you something. Their testimony thrilled my soul because I'm sitting on the edge of my seat listening to see if they were preaching a gospel that was a perversion. I want you to know something. Those boys, they said it in ways that I wouldn't exactly say it, but they said it right. I was thrilled to hear one of these guys, a big brawny football player, he said something like this. He said they were questioning him, and the news anchor was questioning him. And anytime they would question that, these three guys, they would immediately go right back to the pure gospel. And I was thrilled. They said something like this. They're talking about the baptisms and that kind of thing. And one of those boys spoke up and said, you know, folks came to hear from football players. It's, you know, sometimes people exalt football players to a place of God. And this is what these boys were saying, something like this. People exalt football players like us to the place of God, but we're so excited to divert the glory to the Lord and point people to Jesus. They said, folks are looking for something to meet their needs, to give them peace, to help them. But he said, all people have a disease that there's only one answer for. We have a disease. It's sin. Our sin is a disease that condemns us. And there's only one person that can save us from our sins. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know something. I about shouted out. I about shouted out. And then they started questioning this other kid about baptism. And he said, now, the truth is, he said, it's wonderful that these folks have been baptized. But you know, baptism, this guy's, I was thrilled. They said, you know, baptism is just them showing on the outside what God has already done in their hearts. And I thought, praise the Lord, preach it, brother. I like you even if you're from Ohio State. And I'm thankful for the unperverted gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose again to save us from our sin. Let me just tell you something. You can hear all kinds of flowery gospel messages about the love of Jesus, but if they leave sin out, it's a perversion. You see, if there's no bad news that I'm a sinner, there's no need for the good news that Jesus is a Savior. Sin, and the fact that you and I, because of sin, are separated from God and condemned, we need a Savior. And the Apostle Paul says, I've come to preach a gospel that's unperverted. Verse 7, he says, the gospel that I preach to you, it's rich. And the gospel, the perversion, the gospel that you've gone after so quickly, he says, it's not gospel at all. It's a perversion. It's not right. It's illegitimate. The Bible says, but there be some that trouble you. Now, I want you to pay attention. He says, that gospel that they're preaching, it's not the gospel. It's illegitimate. He says, but there be some that trouble you. He says, there's folks going to preach this so-called errant gospel to you. And he says, I want you to know something. If you follow after a gospel that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that I, the Apostle Paul, is going to lay out very plainly for you. If you go after another gospel, that other gospel is going to bring you trouble. It's going to bring you trouble. The argument would be from folks who leave sin out. Well, Jesus is love. Yes, he is. But I want to tell you something. You're going to be in big trouble if you just welcome the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and excuse away your sin and live any way you want to and never deal with your sin nature and the curse of sin on your life. If you do it, I want to tell you something, that gospel is going to bring you trouble. And perhaps you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, and there's been lots of people who've believed the gospel and have been saved, but the gospel they've been taught adds the works of man's religion. I don't know, there's folks who get saved in that. But a gospel that adds works is a gospel that's going to bring you trouble. Because the next thing you know, if you have a gospel that's added something, the next thing you know, folks, instead of going through the work that Jesus does, convicting us of sin and us repenting of our sins and then following the Lord in baptism and then watching God change our lives, the next thing you know, if the gospel has anything added to it, folks skip the conviction of sin and trusting in Christ by faith as Savior, and they get baptized and they think, I'm good, I got dunked. One of our kids today, they said, I asked my mom if I could go over there and touch the holy water. I said, there's nothing holy about that water. He says, is it like bathtub water? I said, yeah, same stuff. Ain't nothing holy about the water in the baptistry. And when you go into water, the water don't wash away your sins. I've baptized people that need to be dunked more than once because they stunk. You don't spend enough time in there to wash nothing off, hardly. Another gospel. I'm going to tell you, there are people who are trusting in the fact that they went down in the water that came out of the pipes from Chilhowie's water department to get them to heaven, and that's another gospel, and it's a perversion. You see, if we add something to the gospel, then we've caused ourselves trouble. A lot of folks add a suit of clothes to the gospel. Or they add a certain regimen or schedule to the gospel. They add a style of music to the gospel. You add whatever you want. If you've added anything to the gospel, I want you to know something. That, my friend, is trouble. I pray the Lord will protect us. Look, there's a place and all through God's word to preach on holiness and separation, to preach on living the Christian life and how husbands ought to act and how wives ought to act and how children ought to act and what the church should look like. And there's all kinds of places through the scripture to preach that. But I want you to know something. The gospel message is the fact that Jesus died for our sins. And if you add something to it, it's trouble. That's what the Bible says. He says, these people that preach another gospel, they trouble you. And the thing that was bothering the Apostle Paul was something that was instituted and was done all through the Old Testament and had a good purpose and practice in the Old Testament, the matter of circumcision. But at this point, this day of grace, the gospel, he said, don't you dare add to this gospel. The gospel has the potential for perversion. The Bible says in verse number 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The Bible says there's some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's folks that will pervert it. There's churches that pervert it. I think occasionally there's folks who accidentally pervert it. But it's so important that we keep the gospel plain and simple and sound and true. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We must trust in him for our soul salvation. The Bible says, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says, let me tell you something. I pray that the people who preach another gospel, I pray a curse on them. We should take it very serious, the work of preaching the gospel message. He says, if I do it, or if an angel from heaven does it, let them be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. The gospel's potential perversion. God, help us not to add to the gospel, not to take away from the gospel, but to preach it in its purity. Finally, number 3, the gospel is preached perfectly by Paul. The gospel's preached perfectly by Paul. Now, I want you to know something. Paul in himself was not infallible. Don't get me wrong. And he would testify. There was a time in Paul's ministry that he's writing on the inspiration of God. He's writing perfectly the inspired word of God and testifying the fact that he's not perfect. He says, the things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. He says, I'm battling with my flesh. But I want you to know something about the Apostle Paul. Anything he wrote down in this Bible, he wrote it down perfectly. And the gospel preached by the Apostle Paul is perfect. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. You see, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And as we read the epistles, we must take God at His Word. And we must apply and understand the Scriptures because they're right and true. And the gospel preached by Paul was preached perfectly. I'll share with you a few things from this last section. The rest of the chapter really is this section, and Paul gives us some of his credentials and the reasons why that the gospel he preaches came not from him but from God. He says in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I had pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, look, I'm not trying to persuade God to my side. He said, I'm just going to tell you what God has already told me. The gospel that Paul preached was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the gospel of men. I'll have you know something. Men's religion will lead you astray. And I beg God to help me as the preacher to step out of the way and not preach a religion that I was raised up on, but to preach the truth that is found in God's Word, the timeless truth of God's Word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our authority. the forefathers of our church. We respect them and love them and honor them. But I want you to know something. They're not our authority. God's word's our authority. And the forefathers of our church that I know, they wouldn't want it any other way. They want us all to point to God's word. They want us to point to the truth of God's word. They want us to point to the true gospel message. And they want men to just get out of the way and let God's word be our sole authority. It's important. It's important that the gospel that Paul preached was perfect. He says, I'm not preaching to persuade God. I'm not presenting this to try to get God on my side. I'm just going to get on God's side. Have you ever tried to talk God into doing things your way? It's a foolish thing to do. We should determine to be on God's side, not our side, and hope God gets on board. He says, I'm not preaching to persuade men, to persuade God. My burden is just to do what God wants. Verse 11, he says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I think that's wonderful. He says, I certify. How many of you ever got a certified letter? Most of the time you get a certified letter, it's not good news. You get a certified letter, that means you've seen it. It's a fact, and you got to do something about it. And Paul says, I want you to know, this is a fact. It's certain. He says, I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He says, for I neither received it of man. Paul said, look, the gospel that I've preached you, it didn't come from a man. He said, it's not the byproduct of thousands of years of Jewish tradition. He said, the gospel that I received, that I've preached, I didn't receive it of men. Look what he says, verse 12. Neither was I taught it. Neither was I taught it. Now, look, this is not an excuse to be an ignorant Christian. See, the Apostle Paul said he wasn't taught. If you believe that, you weren't taught neither. He says, I wasn't taught of men. Basically, he just wants you to know, look, the gospel message I'm preaching to you was not something that was passed down to me. It's not something that Gamaliel showed me. It's not something that some man taught me. It's not something that I learned growing up on my papa's knee. He said, I wasn't taught of man. He says, the gospel I received, verse 12, the end of the verse, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Paul preached, where did it come from? It came straight from Jesus himself. It came right from the source. And God's people need to have faith in that. It's fun to read the rest of this chapter. Because the Apostle Paul, when he receives the gospel message, he begins to immediately preach it. After his Damascus Road experience, he's blind and he goes and... I just drew a blank on the guy's name's house he went to. Help me. Silas, he went to Silas's house. Silas didn't teach him the gospel. He went to Silas's house. And the Bible says, and Paul says, I want you to know something about the purity of the gospel that I teach. It was revealed to me. And he said in verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation, my manner of life, the way I live, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it. He says, you remember my story. I persecuted the church. He says, I profited, verse 14, in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more zealous of the traditions of my father. He says, look, as far as the Jews' religion goes, I was more zealous in the traditions of my father than anybody else you've ever met. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he said, when God called me by his grace to the gospel of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ, God called me to do something, in verse 16, to reveal his son. And God revealed his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. He said, when God called me, he said, the first thing I did was I didn't go to a bunch of people and ask them, what do you think? What do you think? Let's come up with a gospel. Let's come up with a gospel. He didn't go to the apostles and say, let's come up with a gospel. Let's just figure out some way to get people to believe us. Here's what he said. He said, when God called me to preach among the heathen. He says immediately, look at the end of verse 16. He says, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He says immediately, I didn't go get and try to figure out what the popular opinion was. Hallelujah. By the way, if you're looking for popular opinion to give you a clear gospel presentation, you're looking in the wrong spot. He says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 70, neither went I up to Jerusalem. He said, I didn't confer with people. I didn't even go see Peter and all the people at the church of Jerusalem. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He says, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James and the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. He says, I'm testifying to the truth. He says, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. He said, the people in the churches, they didn't know me. The only apostles I'd ever had any contact with was the brother of Jesus and Peter. He says, I conferred with the Lord. He says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. What happened? The Apostle Paul preached the gospel, the true gospel. And when he preached the true gospel, you know what happened? He hadn't conferred with all the apostles in the church at Jerusalem. When he preached the gospel, and he presented the gospel that God revealed to him on the road to Damascus, that God had worked in his heart. When he presented it to Peter, and they heard the gospel that Paul preached, the true gospel of God's word, the Bible says the people in the church at Jerusalem, the church that was in Christ, when they heard the gospel that I preached, we agreed. He said, and they glorified God in me. Look, where can we find the true gospel? We find it right here in the pages of God's word. We find it in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to forgive us and redeem us from the curse of our sin. Where do we find the true gospel? We find it in God's word. And the Apostle Paul says, don't you fall for another gospel. May God help us protect our church. We be faithful, gospel, Bible-believing Christians, anchored in the grace of God that's so rich and so free.